All right, Erev Tov, we're going to be learning essentially nine prokim today, Tisha prokim. Not learning nine prokim, but just talking about nine prokim from Perek Yud Bet to through Perek Chafalem. And the reason why this all comes as one section, good evening, why it comes as one item is because it's to do with the whole issue of dividing up Eretz Yisrael, Chalukata Aretz. Chalukata Aretz is an interesting thing. In the Judaica, the one that I always recommend for people to use, he gives a whole, at the beginning of every volume, he gives you like a synopsis of the whole Sefer. So on this, I'll just read what he says. He starts off with chapter 12, Division of the Land. So what happens is, we're talking about beginning of chapter 12. It talks about the Malachim, all of the kings that were conquered, right? It gives a whole list of names. If you want to see it, look at page 43, and you'll see in page 43 all the different kings that were conquered. In fact, look at page 44. It looks a bit like the Megillah, right? Melech Yericho Echad, Melech Ha'ayim, Echad, 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 Echad. Okay, if you see the way it's written, maybe it's written like that in the scroll. If you have a scroll for Haftarahs, my guess is that's probably the way it's written.
You know why?
I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. But look at that. So, isn't that interesting? I know, with all my breath. You're kidding me. That's the Megillah. You do that in one breath, you'll probably collapse. I suppose so. It's kind of interesting, right? And in the end, if you just look at page 46... Abim Vashesh, Kol HaMelachim, the fourth line, Kol HaMelachim Shloshim Ve'echad. Alright, so that's chapter 12. It gives you the whole list of names of all the different kings, which really is more likely what we would call today sheikhs or whatever, you know, heads of the tribes. And there's altogether 31 kings. So that's the Lamed Aleph, that's the 31 kings. In chapter 13, we're told Yeshua Zaken Babi Yamim, Yeshua is getting old. And it's time to divide up the land. Remember, we spoke last week about the fact Yeshua has an interest in making the war a bit longer. We tried to give a spiritual explanation that he doesn't want Am Yisrael to fall to Avodah Zarah. And if you don't want to make them do Avodah Zarah, it's one of the conditions is that Yeshua is still around. He's still with them. If Yeshua dies, then unfortunately we know that the situation gets very bad more or less overnight. So it just shows the influence of a strong leader. So what happens in chapter 13? And again, just to read it from the summary, it's introducing how the land was divided. And the first description, the whole of chapter 13, is about the 2.5 tribes. What the division describes is really coming from the east of the Yarden, and then going across the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. So chapter 13, and again, I'm only doing this very briefly because most of it is named. Most of what's going on in chapter 13 is how were the areas conquered by the Jewish people before they got to Eretz Yisrael divided amongst the 2.5 tribes. We had the tribe of Reuven, the tribe of Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. And of course, chapter Yud Gimel gives us a bit of the history, how they got those places. It even mentions Bilam again, Posek Chabeh, on page 48, I'm just going to run you through this very quickly, page 48, Ve'Bilam ben Ba'or, HaKosem Argu ben Esau Becharev, Becharev al Chalaleh. Bilam was killed. In that battle, we know that when they conquered that particular area, Bilam was the casualty. He was killed, and he was no longer around. And basically what happens in Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13, is the division of those 2.5 tribes, how they divided up the east side of the Jordan. Now there's what we would call Jordan. All right, but in those days it was connected to Eretz Yisrael. Chapter 14, and again, I'm just running you through this, as I said, because I don't want to sort of just go through every Perek, because you'll see it's just name after name after name, which you'll recognize. Chapter 14, I'm just going to read you what it's talking about there, is that the beginning of chapter 14 is about the division. We're actually going to come back to that. Perek Yud Dalet on page 49, where it says that the bottom of the page, Ve'ela she'en nachalu b'nei Yisrael b'eretz Kanaan, now they get across the Yarden and they're dividing up Eretz Yisrael. Asher nichalu atam, who divided up the land? Elazar Kohen, Yeshua bin Nun. We had Elazar the Kohen, the son of Aaron. We had Yeshua ben Nun, Yeshua was involved. V'rashei avot ha-matot l'bnei Yisrael, and the heads of the tribes. So there are three elements of dividing up the land. Pasuk Bet, Begoral nachalatam, they did it with a goral, and we're going to see some sources to explain how it happened, and you'll see something unbelievable. Alright, there really is an unbelievable midrash over here, which I have to share with you, but we'll come to that in a minute. And it says, Kashetziv Hashem biyad Moshe, as Hashem commanded Moshe, L'tishat ha-matot chasi ha-matef, and the 9.5 tribes that were not on the east of the Jordan. This is now Eretz Israel proper. So again, what's happening is that the land is being divided. Initially, the east side, okay, the upper, well, in this case, probably the lower east side, just to quote the phrase, and then we're going over to the west side, and we're doing the lower west side, and then we're going to be doing the upper west side. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, there you go. I thought that was cool. Anyway, and it goes on, and Pasuk Gimel, we're just at the first couple of psukim of chapter 14. Ki natan Moshe nachalat shnei amatov chasi amateh, me'evel yadah. And again, repeating, the 2.5 tribes, they're on the other side of the Jordan. La Leviim lo natan nachala betocham. And the Leviim did not get any portion because they had a different arrangement, right? There were special cities for the Leviim, but they didn't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael like everybody else. Ki ayu b'nei Yosef shnei matov, Menashe Ephraim, and also Yosef was divided into two tribes, the sons, Menashe and Ephraim. Lo natnu chelik ha-Leviim ba'aretz, and the Leviim did not get a portion. Ki im arim l'shevet, they had cities, u'migrashem l'miknem l'kinyanam, and they had pasture for their animals, migrashim. Kashet tziva Hashem et Moshe, ken asu b'nei Yisrael, and they divided up the land. Okay, so that little section, we're going to come back to the beginning of chapter 14. What happens now, and I'm just going to run through the division, how it worked. First, the first tribe, as you would guess, who's going to get the sort of the lion's share, literally giving it away, is, of course, Yehuda. All right, because Yehuda always comes first. Yehuda is sort of the leader in so many ways, eventually to become the kings of Israel. So the first division is Yehuda. In fact, before we get to Yehuda, part of Yehuda, the description is also going to be about Caleb. Remember, Caleb was given a special bracha that he was going to take Hebron and the whole neighborhood. So in chapter 14, you're given the whole description how Caleb takes hold of Hebron and how he pushes out the Anakim, the Rephaim they were called, right? You know, everyone knows about Emek Rephaim in Yerushalayim, but a lot of people don't realize the origin of that particular name, all right? The Valley of the Giants, that's really what it is, Emek Rephaim, all right? There's great restaurants there, but the original inhabitants were not so friendly. Okay, and it's a lot to do with the original, what we're learning here. Who was living there, and then who was thrown out, who was cast out. Yehuda, it talks about the boundaries, that's already chapter 15. And I'm just running through, again, looking at the summary. We then, from Yehuda, we move on to Yosef, which is the end of chapter 16 through 17. All right, and of course, what happens is that as much as Yehuda is conquering and taking the southern area, Yosef is going to the north. All right, so as I said, we're starting on the lower west side, then we're going to the upper west side. All right, and Yosef, from chapter 16 through chapter 17, we're given the border of Ephraim, we're given the division for Manasseh, the other half of the tribe, and there's even a little disagreement between Yosef and Yeshua regarding how much Yosef was given. All right, and that's again a little story which I don't need to go into, that's just at the end of chapter 17. Who's left? After that, there are the literally seven tribes still left, I think it is, or even more than that. No, 2.5, 3, 4, you've got basically 5, you've got 7 tribes left. All right, who's left? It says 7. Binyamin, Shimon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. All right, and Dan, we know, was the most northerly. Dan was, nowadays you go to Banyas, and beyond that, you know, even into Lebanon, and that was the tribe of Dan. Binyamin was around Yerushalayim, but to the north. All right. Nowadays, of course, Menachem Begin always used to talk about Yehuda Shamron, and always explained that, you know, there's Mate Binyamin, Mate Yehuda. You know, the different areas are divided into the area belonging originally to Binyamin, and then Binyamin had a little chelik in the Beit HaMikdash as well. They had a little strip of land which went right through into the temple, so that the temple should be actually belonging mainly to Yehuda, but also to Binyamin, which again is very significant.
So
yeah.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
You know, I was always told that
It had a, there's a strip, that's right, and there's a strip, and there's a whole thing about that. Which again, it doesn't come out so much from this story, but comes out later on. We've actually, I think, talked about it in other shiurim. In chapter, that really takes you right through to the end of chapter 19, when they finally finish with the division of the land. And they were mishpucha. That's right, and it's all very interesting. We spoke about the family connection in the shiurim on Shoftim, okay, which is now nearly 6 years ago. So if you want to find out about that, you got to listen online.
Chetzron,
that's right.
From the
Raglan, he was given a nickname, correct, and that's exactly. And it gets very interesting. Just to show you the end of the division, okay, which is page 74. And please don't get upset with me that I'm moving you around so much around the pages, because as I said, for the last couple of weeks, we're dealing here with much more with names than with anything else, and I just don't want to go and read through name after name after name. Interesting that a lot of the names today are taken from here, but you'll just see the last psukim of chapter 19, posuk nun aleph, eila anachalot. These are the inheritances asher nichalu el azar kohen yeshua bin nun. All right, remember, chapter 14 is when it started. Excuse me. Oh, allergy season seems to have got going. All right. Eila nechalot asher nechalu Elazar. Okay, and again, the same people. Elazar was involved with the division. Yeshua bin Nun. Roshei ha'avot lematot b'nei Israel. And the heads of the tribes. B'goral b'shilo lifnei Hashem. It was done by Goral. By a lottery. Just coming up to Purim. So we've never been far from that. B'shilo lifnei Hashem in Shiloh, which is where the Mishkan was established. Petach ha'omoid at the tent, literally the door of the Mishkan. Vayichalu mechalek et ha'aretz, and they finished dividing up the land. Yeah. Chapter 19, page 74.
In Parshas
Maaseh. Yeah, there's a Tlisha. What is he called then?
Kanepar.
Yeah. And also Nachlasar. Isn't that interesting? That is very interesting. For Balkari, this is a gem of a find. So, I know, but then you got to be Mechadish, you've got to explain. That's a, yeah, and over there it's... Madosim, correct. Right. And that's interesting in terms of Trop, and I'll leave you to come out with the Sefer. You've got to bring out a Sefer on this. This is really important. There's a lot of chidushim in the Trop, in the way you read it. Enormous interest. But I think I'll wait for you to come up with the solution there. But that's a good catch. Let me just tell you very quickly, because I just want to explain chapter 20. What happens in chapter 20 is the Ori Miklat, the city of refuge. All right, exactly which chapters they were. You'll see the beginning of Perek Chav, page 74. Ve'edaber Hashem Yeshua le'mor, daber b'nei Yisrael le'mor, tenu lechem et arei miklat. You've got to now take the cities of refuge, right? There were three cities on the east side of the Jordan, and initially three cities, I think, on the west side of the Jordan, and also the cities of the Levim, if I'm not mistaken, also became cities of refuge, 42. So in total, there were 48 places that the murderer could go. Now you say to yourself, how many murderers were there running around in the land of Israel that you needed so many cities? And that's already an interesting question. I don't know. I'm not going to commit myself. It couldn't have been that many. All right.
More, yeah.
And it's so interesting. It's just fascinating. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. Yeah, in certain places. In certain places, there was... Yeah, it was never considered a Jewish crime, right? There's a lot of accountants in certain places, and you knew there would be problems, but... A lot of axes. yeah, you're chopping wood and then boom, the whole thing flies off. I don't know what to say. I don't know. It's an interesting... The whole thing of Ir Miklat is a fascinating study, which, again, is not really for now. That's on a parsha shit to talk about Ir Miklat and the psychology of it. It's not a university of crime. It's a university of repair. All right? Prisons today seem to be more about teaching people how to be crooks than to stop them being crooks. This is a big, big debate. No, they were guarded. The Goel Adam could not come in. Somebody wanted to kill you as revenge. They stopped them at the door. So as long as you stayed in the city until the Kohen Gadol died, you were okay. Then you had an amnesty. Then you were released. Yeah, and explains the whole story, which is really taken from the Torah. What is interesting is that who you took with to the Ori Miklat. You had to take with, obviously, people would go with you if you were the murderer, but one of the people you could genuinely take with is your Rebbe. Imagine that. Your teacher. If you had your rabbi and you said, you've got to come with me, and the Kohen Gadol is going to be alive for the next 50 years, he's got to be with you in the Ori Miklat. Rambam says it. You took the Rebbe with you. So that's it. It's about rehabilitation. Who's going to rehabilitate? Who's shikum? Shikum? Who's going to mishakem? The Rebbe. Sorry. It seems to be that the Rebbe had to go. The Rambam brings this, and I can't quote the Rambam verbatim. So it may be that it was a choice. I don't know, but there is definitely room to bring the Rebbe with. And yeah, he could go away for vacation if he wanted to. You couldn't, because you had the girl Adam waiting at the door to kill you. That's a scary halacha, by the way. Because you might end up in an Ivy Club. Yeah, it's a very good policy. Chapter 21 is just the last one that I just want to talk about very briefly, which is the Orei Leviim. Once we've dealt with the cities of refuge, then we have all the different cities of the Leviim, as you'll see in chapter 21. It goes through a very long chapter, but it gives you all the different places according to the different families. Look at the last few psukim, page 79. At this point, all of the land had been given, and they dwelt in it. Everything around them was kept away. In other words, they were at peace. The enemy did not attack them, like the Megillah. Nobody stood before them, from their enemies. And their enemies were given in their hands. Lo nafal davar mikol hadavar hatov asher dibar Hashem el Beit Yisrael hakol, but everything took place exactly the way God had said in the el Beit Yisrael, to the house of Israel in the Torah. Yeah, isn't that interesting? It's like a parallel text here with the Megillah. So we found the parallel nigun with the trop with Sefer Bamidbar. Now the parallel with I really don't know. I think it's worth having a look. What I want to deal with, as I said, we've got like bookends. We had chapter 14, which was the beginning of the division, right? And we had three elements. We had the element of Elozar Kohen, representing the spiritual element. We had Yeshua representing the leadership. And we had, obviously, the Rashi Matot representing the clan, if you want to call it that. Who's getting what? So each tribe had a head of tribe who would be there at the division. So the big question is, why so many people? At the end of the day, if you're dividing up the land, you know, God should, the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people is close. So you need a Kohen, he needs to ask Hashem, and that'll be it. Why did you have to have all of these people involved? That's question number one. And question number two, which is even more specific, is how did they do it? How did they actually decide the boundaries and the borders and the towns? Here you've got all the names, but it doesn't give you the mechanics. It just says Begorah. It was done by lottery. Okay, so I've got to show you this, because this is wild. And I managed to photocopy this out, so if you can give these out, this is something else. Don't be put off by the title here. A talking lottery ticket, because it really does get extremely interesting. This won't take very long, but this is really what I wanted to do. Mitzvah Shem, by the way, next week I don't think I'll be here. So next year will be in 2 weeks' time. Okay, I want to make, and that really should go out as an email as well. Next week, because I'm coming back from Houston next week, so allowing for whatever, my wife's coming back from Israel on the same day. that's a good question. So whichever way it works out, I think the next year Mitzvah Shushan will be not next week Shushan Purim, but afterwards the week later. And we've got three chapters to finish, And Mitzvah Shem will be finishing before Pesach, which is very exciting, finishing the Sefer. Now again, you may have a taina that we've jumped over like eight or nine chapters today, but you can see what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to give you a kind of framework to understand how this actually happened. Now look at this. This is really was worth coming out for this, even though it's such a cold evening. Listen to this. Begaron Nachalatam. This is again the Sefer of Yitzhak Levi. Yitzhak Levi, I just did a bit more research, and I've used his book a lot. I use it a lot in my teaching. Feldheim produced this Sfarim a number of years ago already. He was a teacher in Chorev, turns out, that he lived in Yerushalayim. And I had a conversation not so long ago with my wife's aunt who knew him. He actually knew this man, and he died very young. He has a couple of sons who did not want to continue his work, so he wrote his notes till the middle of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and that was it. So you've got Yeshua Shoftim, and Shmuel Aleph, and that's all you got from him, which is really sad, because clearly he was a very gifted teacher, and a very gifted writer. He puts together so many nice inyonim, midrashim, and iyunim, you know, things to look at, and it's very special. So look at this. This is really something else. Begoron Nachalatam. Yitzhak Levi, right? First he quotes the psukim that we just read. So we'll just go over that again very quickly. Who did the division of the land, right? We know that the division of land was done by a number of people. Asher Nichalu Atam Elazar, Kohen, Yeshua Bin Nun, Rashi Avot, Amatol Bnei Yisrael. Three people. Three groups. Two people in one group, right? It was Elazar Kohen, it was Yeshua bin Nun, and then the heads of the tribes. And obviously the question is why. Begorah nachalatam ashed tzivah Hashem et Moshe. This is what Moses had been commanded by God. Letishata matod chesim ater, and the 9.5 tribes that in Eretz Yisrael. As we read that 2.5 tribes already took their land on the other side, on the east side, the lower east side, and the upper east side. That was a bad joke before. You just came in late.
Still
it still works. I'll keep flogging as much as I can. The Levim got no portion on the east side. Why? And of course, the question is, how do you make up the 12 tribes? Altogether, and we know that the sons of Yosef turned out to be two tribes. In other words, 12 tribes got the Yerusha, and Levim got their various cities amongst the rest of the tribes. So Levim being the teachers, Levim were the influential, the spiritual people, they lived amongst everybody. So everybody had access to the Levim. You could go there to learn. That was where the yeshivot, I presume, would be. That's where the teachers would be. That's where the rabbeim, the gedolim, would be. And it says Menashe Ephraim, the last line of that quote. Velo natnu lechelik Levim ba'aretz ki im arim lashevet migrashem lignem lekinyana. We read this before. They only had land for their cattle and for their animals, etc. Now says Reb Levin, it's so interesting. He says Rishonim zachu benachala shivtei. Eva Yad and Mizrahi. So we know the people to get the division, the first people got it, were the people on the east side of the Jordan. Ruvain, Gad, Chatzi Shev, Manasseh, the 2.5 tribes. Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu Chilek Lahem, Kavad Nachalatam. Already from Moshe, they were told what they were going to get. The Ato, and now, Achrei Shekaimu et Avtachatam, Kol Yimei Kibush Aris, and they promised that they would go to the Jewish army and be part of the conquest of Eretz Israel. So they came over. And now it was all finished. Nitkaima nachalazu biyadam, and therefore the reward was to get the 2.5 tribes back to where they were and to have their chelik for their animals and everything that they wanted. Says Rab Levi, b'sheva shanim, took 7 years, we spoke about this last week, 7 years, shechilka et ha'aretz, when they divided up the land. This division that we read today, the chapters from 14 through 21, is a 7-year process. It wasn't quick. It says, Natan Yeshua begoral et nachalatam l'shitei Yehuda. Initially, by lottery, the first group that got it were the tribe of Yehuda, Ephraim, and Chatzi Shev and Manasseh, then the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, Baharam Merkazish Eretz Yisrael. This was in the central area of Eretz Yisrael, the mountains there, Shekevah Kovshu Kulo, which Nichbash Kulo, which has already been conquered. And he points out something interesting. V'acharei shebo l'shiloh. They came to Shiloh, to the Mishkan, Chilek Yeshua Begoral and Nachalatam L'Shah Shivata Shvatim. Then the rest of the tribes, we said 7 other tribes got division. Shimon, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Asher, Binyamin, And here comes an interesting thing. Afal pi shelo nichbasha adayin kol nachlatam. They hadn't finished conquering the land yet. Even after this 7 year, after the 14 year period, seven year of division, there were still areas which needed to be conquered. But that was something that, I guess you got to a point where you divide it up and then, allow for the conquest later. And this is what was going on over here in this particular story. As I said, it's a sign of faith. It's almost as if to say, well, we're going to conquer it eventually, Bezrat Hashem, and therefore, let's tell you now, you're going to get this little pocket, and you're going to get that little stretch, and this is going to belong to this tribe, and this is going to belong to that tribe, even though you haven't yet conquered that specific area. This I find very fascinating. Next paragraph. V'rak acharei shekol shevet hikir et chelko. So each tribe recognized his chelek, his portion. Hifrishu mehem et arei miklad, arei leviim. And then they separated the cities of refuge, where the murderers, the inadvertent murderers would go, and the cities of the leviim, which were spread out right through Eretz Yisrael, with a couple of cities of refuge on the other side of the Jordan as well. And that's the way it was all divided up. Now, says Reb Levi, Ketzad Hayta Chaluka? How do they do it? How do they actually divide it? We said Goral. What does that mean? Says, and he quotes here two sections, one from Gemara Bava Batra and one from Tanchuma, which is a bit more dramatic. So let's go through the first one. He says like this from the Gemara, Velo Nitchaka Ela Begora. Right? It was done by lottery. Shenema Ach Begoral Yechalek at the Aretz. It's got to be divided up by a lottery. Velo Nitchaka Ela Beurim V'Tumim. Also, they use the Urim V'Tumim, the special breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Read about it this week in the Parsha. And it was like an instant message to God. You would actually ask God for an answer. The letters would light up. And with the ability to be able to put the words together, good Scrabble players, right? Then what would happen is that they would be able to understand what the message from God really was. And then Shenema, Alpia, Goral, etc., Techalek Nachlato, was all done by the Goral. So the Gemara asks, okay, sir, how did it work? So it says like this, Elazar Melubash Urim V'Tum. Elazar, the Kohen, would wear the breastplate. V'Yoshua V'Chol Yisrael Omdim Lefanov. Everybody would stand in front of Yoshua and everybody else. V'Kalfi Shel Shvatim, there'd be lots with the names of the tribes. V'Kalfi Shel Tchumim Unochin Lefanov, and there would be pieces of paper with the boundaries. All right, and basically, what happens is you pull it out of the hat. Literally, it's unbelievable. He would then ask Hashem for divine guidance through the Urim V'Tumim, the instant message to God. This is Elazar v'Omer, and he would say, "Zavulun ole mitoch kalfish hashvatim tchum ako ole imo." So what he would say is he's picking out the piece of paper with the name Zavulun on it, and he would ask Hashem, when he put his hand into the other hat, it would come out with the right portion, and it came out with Akka, which is right in the north. Right, Akka was famous for the British, what they did there, which is not very nice. Yeah.
Why did it take 7 years?
No, then you had to get everybody together. 7 years was getting them to move in. I mean, this is a whole process, all right? You know, getting Jews to go anywhere, it's going to take a long time. We're very bad about that. You know, we're good at kiddushim and staying around, but we're not good at moving into places, certainly like this. Yeah.
But if they make it only by lotteries, how did they divide the size of the lots?
That's the Ruach HaKodesh. That's
the
Ruach HaKodesh. That's what you need, is Rat Hashem. This is what it's saying here. It's unbelievable, but it's going to be even more of a Chiddush. So the Medrash says something even wilder than this. You'll see in a minute.
Why did they have to have the Shvatim out of the...
Yeah, because again, I suppose the answer is that certain Chalakim were very specific to certain Shvatim, but might have suited maybe more than one. For instance, here you've got Akko, it's on the coast. So you've got Zavulun, who are the fishermen, right? The Dayagim. You got it over here, and that's the sign, the ship. And at the same time, it might have suited maybe one of the other tribes. You had to be certain that what was being divvied up, what was being divided, was going to be absolutely suitable for the people who were receiving it. And that was the Ruach HaKodesh element of the whole thing. One guess is that other tribes might have been able to use it as well, you know, for different purposes. That's my feeling about it, yeah.
It's born with fishermen, right?
Yeah.
Where did they learn to fish? You're 40 years in the desert, you're conquering the land, where did they go out to fish?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and the answer is I haven't got a clue. I suspect... I suspect that they might have been. They might have got this already from Egypt. I mean, you just never know. You know, what did you do all day in Egypt? You know, you sat on the River Nile with a fishing rod. I mean, I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that's where they learned to fish. There seems to have been something within the nature of the different groups whereby the land which they inherited would suit their particular nature. So did it mean that they knew how to fish when they got there, or did they learn the skills once they had the chelek? Chicken and egg, right? What came first? And the answer, I'm not really sure. There must have been maybe divine inspiration here. You get into this topic. It's a good question, but I really don't know. I'm not sure. There's a lot of questions.
Why was there such an emphasis on dividing the people up into the tribe or keeping them separate?
Yeah.
The tribe, instead of
that's a great question. And this is one of the very challenging questions in the whole of this story from now right through Sefer Shoftim. And the question is, why did it stay so tribal? The answer is because I suppose in the end of the day, we're a typical bunch to organized, right? We're very hard to control. If we come as a big mass, look what happened when they did the whole discussion of the Meraglim. It says that the whole of the people came, but Rebuvia, it says, they came like a balagan, alright, the whole group. And they demanded from Moshe Rabbeinu, send Meraglim. That's the way it's in Sefer Devarim, later on it's described. And that means that once we break ranks, we're very hard to control. The tribal system, I've thought about this a lot, I think was an element of control. The trouble is, of course, once you put people into groupings, right, then you get your Hasidim, your Misnagdim, your Ashkenazim, your Sephardim, your Litvakas, and your who knows what, then the problem is that you get these conflicts and you get these, and that's the price that they had to pay. I think that initially the plan was a good plan in terms of keeping everybody, you know, sort of focused on what they were supposed to do. But the problem then comes, what happens when you get conflict between different groups? And Nebuch, by the end of Sefer Shoftim, you've got civil war going on. It's a terrible thing. So in the end, was this the best way of doing it? You know, we're asking questions on the Rabbonis Shalom. I'm really not sure. I don't know. I'm prepared to say that there is a question mark, but I understand the reason why it started like that. But it's a good question. We've always been tribal ever since. It's one of those things that, you know, we're not tribal in terms of the tribes today, but in terms of compartments, it's crazy. Well, to a certain extent. Yeah, Shevet Levi. I know that's a special Mishaberech. I know, that's true. That's true. Assuming that the Kohen is a real Kohen, the Levi is a real Levi. Yeah, but you know what? You know the question mark about all of that. Yeah, you know. I'm a commoner garden Israel, and I'm proud of it. I want to go back to the text, because listen to this. It's very, very interesting.
It's very good. It's a philosophical way of knowing that you have an identity.
This does give identity.
As opposed to assimilating and saying, hey, you know what?
It's not a whole mishmash. It's, and every tribe had a certain style.
More structured than the Jews.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a gestalt that makes sense.
Yeah. I hear that. I'm looking at the time, and I don't want to miss this. So I'm going to go to the next paragraph, which is the Midrash, which says something totally. It's beyond belief. Look at the next paragraph where it starts with the word ach. Ach begoral. It's describing the same process, but it gives us more information. Ach begoral. It's all done by lottery. What does that mean? Zer, after the bracket, Zer sha'amar katu, medinim yashbit hagorot. What does that mean? That's a pasuk from Mishlei. Lefi shekatav siman kol shevet v'shevet b'Yaakov. Each tribe had a siman. Like we've got the signs over here. I'm presuming the same signs. Zevulun lechof yamim yishkon. Because you look back in Breshit, Yaakov had already given his sons different symbols, right? Yehuda is obviously the lion. Zevulun is the boat, right? You know, the sea. So this is already coming from the father. Yisachar chamor gorem. Yisachar is like the donkey that is the very bony. It says gorem or whatever the translation is. Me oshesh me na lachmo. Osh is like the fatness, etc. Ein lachar reshut lechalek el apia goral. So the idea was you've got to do it by goral. Now, how did this work? Listen to this. Only Midrash could say this. Umaisa nisim haya begorot. The whole thing was a miracle. What does it mean? Elazar kohen. I say this with a smile because if you buy this, you're great. Elazar kohen lavesh urim v'tumim. Elazar kohen wore the urim v'tumim. That we know. Kalfe hagorot lifnei Yoshua. He had all the lottery pieces in front of him. Yoshua, right? What do they do on the TV? they have to have somebody watching the whole lottery. You usually get an accountant, an accountancy firm watching it. You'll see in a minute. That's the next thing we're going to say. But listen to this. Shenama, because it says, Yoriti lechem goral, apol ifnei Hashem elokeinu. There's a goral. There's a lottery. The achlo yalea goral. So before the lottery started, Elazar omer baruch hakodesh, goral shevet ploni ole. This is much more dramatic. It's not that he put his hand in. He just said, what's going to come out of the hat is the first paper, and boom, it jumped out of the hat. So this is like something out of Las Vegas, right? A magic show. What's happening is that he's saying, this is what's going to be, what Gerard is going to come out first. Yehuda Yale, Yehuda come up. And the piece of paper jumped up. She yitol b'makom ploni. And this is going to happen to a certain place. But Yoshua poshet yodo, and Yoshua put his hand into the other hat. And he took the piece up, which was exactly the way that Elazar had said from Shemaim. So they did it with godly influence, and also they had to go through the Gora. Now you'll say to me, why do both? Listen to this. They both were involved in the division, as we read at the end of chapter 19. Obviously it was extra, why? The Goral was crying out, talking lottery ticket. Okay? The ultimate thing. This is even without iPads. It's unbelievable. What did it do? Ania Goral Shevet Ploni. I am the Goral. I am the lottery of a certain tribe. Aliti lo b'makom ploni. And I come up to a certain place. Uminyan shal Goral medaber. How do I know that the Goral was talking? Unbelievable. Shenema api ha-Goral. By the mouth of the Goral. So it spoke. It literally, and of course, why are they doing all this? And you think about it, it makes perfect sense, even though it's a strange system. The answer is that if you are suspicious, and unfortunately a lot of the attributes of Am Yisrael are, some of the bad stuff is really bad, and one of the things we're not very good at is judging people favorably. We're supposed to, don't look up schools, that's why we're told to do it. But we don't have such a good record, sometimes we're a bit judgmental. So people might have been standing there and saying, you're Elazar, and Moshe, Elazar, and Yoshua, it's a fix. It's a setup, right? It's a, what they call in Hebrew, kenunya. It's a shvindle. And you know what? And he's got an interest to give this tribe a bit more towards the coast because they want to build hotels in Tel Aviv. And this one wants to sort of have more of the inland because they want to set up a theme park in wherever. The equivalent in those days, right? So there's a shvindle going on here. So what happens is that the Goral talks. This is God's word on the whole story. If you think that just the physical event of picking up these pieces of paper, which they're doing with a lot of tefillah and tremendous ceremony, is just really what it's all about, forget about it. It's much more about the fact that this is being done, L'tova is being done for the benefit of Am Yisrael, that every single tribe is getting the exact portion which it deserves, which it needs, in which it can thrive. And this is not a fix. This is not something where Yoshua has decided with us, we'll do a bit of a deal over here. There's no wheeling and dealing going on here whatsoever.
Also, it's a type of thing where some of the land was already conquered, so some tribes already are getting conquered lands,
Others are still having to conquer. And they may think it's not fair, right? So you're absolutely right. So all of this has to be put right. And the way that it's put right is by having a talking lottery ticket. Unbelievable. Whoever heard of such a thing? But there it is, in the Midrash. It's not in the Gemara like this. It's in the Midrash like this. Fascinating. Now listen to this. You'll say to me, wait a minute. You've got Yoshua, you've got Elazar, but what about the Rosh Matot? We had three different stages. That's what we're going to talk now. The three levels. Go to the other side of the page, and you'll see that it's not the back side, it's the other column, excuse me, where it says three levels. All right, and I've got 1, 2, and 3. So look at this. Baruch. I'm just going to go through this because again, we haven't got much time. Baruch ifo shebechalukata aretz yet tafkid arishon leLazar ben Aaron haKohen Gadol. The first person to deal with the division of the land has got to be Elazar, the Kohen Gadol. Ma yet tafkido? What is his job? Efshal lilmod mi pasuk acher. We can learn from another pasuk. שבו השם יתברך כובד יחסם של המנהיג יהושע בן נון עם הכהן גדול. So what's the relationship between Yeshua and the כהן גדול? אלעזר בן אהרון, what's the relationship? קח לך את יהושע בן נון לפני אלעזר הכהן יעמוד. He has to stand before the כהן גדול. Yeshua stands before אלעזר. ושאלו במשפט אורים. And he has to ask a question of God through the אורים, through this special breastplate, לפני השם. So what's the purpose of Elazar initially? To ask the Shiloh of God. What do we do? Number two. The second job is Yeshua's job. What does he do? Yeshua explains what's going on. I threw the goral. What does that mean? Came vayashlech lahem Yeshua goral b'shilo lifnei Hashem. He cast the lot. V'heim hem shnei shlavim shebchalukat shvatim. That's the whole division for the tribes. Kafi tirem shel chazal, as the rabbis explain. But again, maduet sorech b'shneim. Nidon kodem b'kavanat agora. So the question is going to be, why do we need both of these guys there? What's going on? So he says like this. Omnom Yaakov avinu b'birchato. When Yaakov gave a bracha to the tribes, kavab piret lechaleg me'ashvatim et ezurei nachlatam. He's already hinting which portion of the land goes to which son. Aval kozman shelo ayu b'tuchim. If they don't feel this is from God, the division, there's going to be dinei Torah, there's going to be arguments between the shvatim, between the tribes. How big your piece you're getting, your piece is bigger than my piece, your piece of land is bigger. Your piece of land is better than my piece. You can produce more crops. Al tchumim. And the boundaries, some are still need to be conquered, some have already been conquered. So he says, medinim yashver yashbit agora. So all of these arguments can make the goral yashbit. Yashbit means to put it like Shabbos, like Shavat, can make the whole thing go stop. V'ala goral kva amash Shlomo HaMelech brachmato. Shlomo has described the lottery, b'chek yutal et agora. You put the goral literally in your lap. Umei Hashem kol mishpato is really the way deciding from God. Ukavan it amta etza yoshe haaretz amituta goral b'mal ochan. And the whole story with Ochan, which we read before, where we saw that there was a goral and how the goral works. Now, imkein, madua yatzarek shnei adz b'urim v'tumim. If you've got the goral, why the urim v'tumim? So he explains. Shoalim techila b'urim v'tumim. You ask the question of God first. Before you take the lottery paper, that makes the Jews cool down. There's not going to be fights over this. Because everybody knows this is all from God. It is, of course it's the lottery that decides, but this is from Hashem. And once it goes into that category, then everyone is beseder, everyone is b'shalom. Sorry? Why not a bus call? Yeah, the answer is, I suppose you've got to do it in a certain way. We'll see in a minute. Hang on. We'll see in the back. Because they see the goral comes up the way that it was predicted, then that is a double insurance. That's interesting. This is the Rashbam, the commentary in the Gemara. That everything is yashar, is correct. Is Elech. These are Elech Yidden, right? These are the real deal. V'lo yu merananim b'davar shvatim rubim. And they would not complain in such a circumstance. We're worried about the fact that Jews are good at complaining. If you turn over the page, and very quickly, ilu heitilu rak goral, od yachlu Yisrael ranein al yit sedek chalukata nachalot. Just the goral would not have been enough. They could have said, well, it's all a fix. It's either it's by chance, it's a coincidence, or even worse, they'll think that it's a fix. So that's why you had to have the combination of the word of God and the goral, and then everybody is happy. Very interesting, dealing with Jews, how to deal with Am Yisrael. Very difficult. Look at the next paragraph. Let's say Elazar was the only one there, without the lottery, which was Yoshua's contribution, they'll start complaining about Elazar. He's doing it of his own. In other words, there's a fix. Omar Mashamad, he said what he said. Ki ein mevinet siruf otiyot shalachoshen. He's interpreting the message from God in the wrong way. They're always going to find an excuse. Ela kohen gadol anishal berach kodesho. Right, and this is what goes according to the problem of reading the Urim Ritumim. V'olai im kozot yeah od mishu mikalei adar. That even with Yeshua and even with Elazar, there's still going to be someone complaining. Unbelievable! How do you deal with Jews? The kalei rosh. There's going to be someone who's very light-headed. Nice way of putting it. A pain in the neck. A nudnik. Sheyaher od achrei shnei rabotav. He's going to complain about the two rebbes. It's unbelievable, this story. It's so Jewish. Gamachare ruach kodesho shel azav. Gamachare agor biyad Yeshua. After the goral with Elazar and then Yeshua, v'lo yikabel meyam et chalukah shel pi Hashem. They won't accept it. They're still not kosher enough. It's not mahadrim in a mahadrim. So what are they going to say? Lefichach nase bones. That's why they needed a miracle. Hagoral asmalo yitzaveh. That's why you needed the goral to scream. Ani agoral sheve ploni aliti lev mokam ploni. That shut everybody up. Once you got a talking lottery ticket, nobody could complain. It's such a good story. I had to share this with you. And then, of course, you'll say, why the Rashi Avot Amatot? And then just jump two lines down. You've got to have the people to actually divide it up. And the Gemara here, he brings from, I don't remember now where this comes from, they use the word apotropos. Apotropos is a wonderful word, which is a Greek word, which is used today in Israel. The apotropos haklali is someone very important in the Misrad HaMishpatim, someone who's very much in charge of the legal system, but it means an administrator. Apotropos, so you needed people to administer the whole thing. And that's what you've got over here in terms of the story of, as he says in this little paragraph, I'll just read it, that they're going to divide it up for you. Kol nasi v'nasi apotropos lishvato. Every head of the tribe becomes an administrator. U'mechalek nachalat hashevet lemishpachot ligvarim. And he divides up the land that he's got into the families and into the different men who needs it. Uborel kol echad ve'echad chelek hagun, and gives each one a decent section, decent portion. Umashem osim yasui ki ilu asum shluchim, and it's as if messengers, as if they had agents to do it. Linchol et ha'aretz yehei nochel otam bimekomchem, in your place. Lenachel b'nei Yisrael shehem yanchilu otam lachem machlechoter, and they divide it up for everybody else. They know who needs a bigger field, who works a different piece of land, who's going to be good taking this section of the coast, who's going to be good taking this section in land, and that's the way the heads of the tribes were used. Last three lines, because it's so precious, this. Kodem. So therefore, before achrei agora, before, after you've had the gora, zocha nosi kapotropos the shifto, then the nosi, the head of the tribe, becomes like an administrator for his tribe. B'nachalat hashevi kulo v'achar kach, after that, hu chilek et nachalat hashevi kol echav echad, he divides up the whole chilek to each person, u'bire lehem chilek hagun, and then it was done fairly. Unbelievable. What a great story. I love that talking lottery ticket. Isn't that something else? Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. If there's not Shalom, in the family, then how are we really going to conquer that? You know, Shalom in the family is really something that we just hope and pray that if they're not going to like each other because you're Zevulun and I'm Naphtali, all right. You know, we can deal with that. But when Zevulun doesn't get on with the head of Zevulun, doesn't get on with it, then we've got a real problem. And, you know, that I think that the assumption here has to be that, you know, in the family, they've got a certain amount of, at least they're talking to each other. It's when the family doesn't talk to each other, then we know there's real trouble. And within tribes, it's interesting, you don't get that sense of internal problems within tribes, but you do get the tremendous sense, at the beginning of Shoftim already, of between tribes. That they really did not hit it off one with the other, not because they were jealous of each other's chelek, but because of other issues, right? Certain things that certain tribes behave so badly, plegish begivah, which is the worst story probably in the whole of Tanakh, where eventually the tribe of Binyamin was so badly behaved that they almost got decimated to zero. I think 500 people survived the civil war. It says, unbelievable thing. Yeah.
We have precedents with Fidel Slavkot that Roshei Avos, Roshei Mate Menashe Ben Yosef, they really had the authority.
Yeah.
Like, you never crossed them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the way it is. And therefore the Nossi would be very powerful, and that's the way it would work.
Like a rebbe.
Yeah, it was like a rebbe. And that's so interesting. And this chapter is so Jewish. It's just so wonderful, the history, the teva, the nature that we're learning about here. We're suspicious, we're not sure, whatever. So in the end of the day, who has to give us this assurance? God, direct line from heaven. It's wonderful. One and then two. Yeah.
If there is any evidence of dealing or trading on lands between the tribes after
this, no. Once it's divided up, absolutely not. It really isn't. No, there really isn't. It's so interesting. Once they got their chelek, that was it. What they did within the chelek, that's already a problem. Dan in the north became a Avodah Zarah by the end of Sefer Shoth. And they're even all the way through, according to some. So that's already more problematic. But between them, no. But in terms of division, but in terms of what went on, that when one tribe, Binyamin, behaved so badly, therefore all the other tribes decided, got to do something about it, that was terrible. And that's where the tribal system fell down. And people talk about the whole tribal system as being, you know, had its pluses and had its minuses. It really had. Chiyuvi v'shlili. Yeah.
Hold up with just 2.5 tribes.
That is chapter 22. That's next week. Or in fact, 2 weeks' time. Wait. That's what we're going to see. Because they want to go home, back to their land. And there is an enormous bust-up. There's an enormous bust-up. Not a bust-up which leads to anything serious, but potentially could have been a real problem. Because everyone sees that, but not so much the fact they want to go home, but what they leave behind. They leave behind a monument, it says a mizbeah, and you'll see what happens. The reaction is very, very severe. And it's an interesting story, which I don't want to give too much away. Mitz Hashem in 2 weeks' time. And they went against the Nachalah, and there's a lot to say. And in the end of the day, they disappeared quicker than anybody else. In Eretz Yisrael, that's where we are assured. There's a continuance there. There's a continuation. Once we're outside Eretz Yisrael, we think it's good in Brooklyn, we think it's good in London, we think it's good in wherever. Who knows? Come back in 100 years' time, and we just don't know. We just don't know.
This Medrash Tanchuma is true in Hollywood. No, they use it.
Really?
Yeah. Harry Potter and others use this.
They have the talking.
Which decides which people will go to which.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I was told this.
Beauty and the Beast, Wizard of Oz.
There's only two books. Two books in the world which go for 5 to 95. One is the Bible, and the other one is Harry Potter. That's what I was told. Only two books ever been written. Yeah. And that's a thought for the day. I wish everybody a really wonderful, happy Purim. Talk about lottery, talk about division of lots. All very relevant. Thank you very much. Thank you.